Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is May 27, 2015. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 18,162, the NASDAQ at 5106, and the S&P at 2123. Last week, we discussed Medicare planning with Dan Banks from Silvercrest Insurance. He did a great job explaining some of the options folks have when they're looking at Medicare, Medicare insurance, Medicare supplemental or Advantage plans. So that show is available on podcast on either of the websites I mentioned, yourfinancialchoices.com or wdiy.org. Lots of other prior shows on those websites as well. So if you're interested, you can check those out. We are live tonight. We are talking about a potpourri of spring cleaning ideas. Ideas that are going to include searching for unclaimed property in Pennsylvania, some other tips on making sure your financial house is in order. We're going to look at maybe you need to do some spring cleaning on your credit reports, and also spring cleaning in what you might traditionally think we're talking about, which is cleaning up financial papers, organizing them, how long do you have to keep documents, and that type of information. So we're going to go over all of that, and I have some resources that I'm going to share with you, and it's all great information. I'm excited to talk about that tonight. We are live. If you have questions, you can call in at 610-758-8810. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay, and we can talk without confusion. And for our shy listeners, you are welcome to call in as well. If you don't want to talk on air, you can give your question to Judy Ann, and she'll bring it into the studio, and I'll do my best to answer the questions. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I'll do my best to answer. Again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So tonight, a potpourri of spring cleaning ideas for your financial life. And when I was thinking about doing this, I think the last time I might have done this was like even a few years ago. So I went on, you know, the internet to look for some ideas, and I found a really great checklist from the state treasurer of Missouri. And it was so good, I thought, you know, I'm going to go over this because he really did a good job. His name is Clint Zweifel. And it was very appropriate checklist. Many of the things I would have, you know, included anyway, but I thought it was a good way for us to start the show. So he had indicated, let me read what he had said. There are a few simple steps each of us can take on a regular basis to keep our records up to date and our estates in order. It is important that we check on our accounts, safe deposit box, life insurance policies, and wills. By making sure that our contact information is correct, our fees are paid up, and changes made, basically Missourians, but in this case, any of us, can help keep property where it belongs and avoid having to file unclaimed property claims. So we're going to talk about unclaimed property, but the checklist was beyond that. It wasn't just about checking for unclaimed property, but how to avoid your property escheating, if you can say that word, escheating. What it means is if you are not, you know, locatable by a bank or financial institution, if someone has some of your funds and they cannot find you, or you have had no activity on financial accounts for a period of 5 years, those monies get turned over to the state, and the state will hold those until sometime you might claim them. Heirs may be able to claim them as well if you can show that you were the executor or whatever other information may be required for that. So this is some tips on how to avoid that happening. Basically, he says, make sure your bank has your current information. So if you have moved or changed your name, be sure to inform your bank. That seems kind of common sense, you would think. But at the same time, how often do we get caught up when we are moving that we just think we're moving, we'll take care of the bank account later, or we think, let's keep that bank account. I have, you know, a few $100 in it. I moved across the country. And over time, we kind of start forgetting about that bank account. I would expect that it's more likely to happen these days when so many people do things electronically as well. If you're not really keeping up with your email or watching, you know, for electronic statements or pulling those down, I could see where that might occur even more frequently now. But in the old days with paper statements, maybe you forget to do an address forward and forwarding an address. Maybe mail's going to your parents and then your parents move and your parents take care of their mail, but they forget about forwarding that old bank account you had when you were in college. So you want to make sure that you're keeping a tab on any assets that you might have had, particularly if you are moving. If you think you're not, you know, really interested in keeping an account or it is a small balance, you know, you could always just close it so that you don't run the risk of forgetting about it and getting lost in the shuffle. Treasurer Clint Zweifel from Missouri also said, check your safe deposit boxes. So a lot of people in the old days, I would say, probably were more inclined to have safe deposits. I think fewer people have them today, but they still are out there. That's a safe deposit box at the bank where you rent a box and you can put important documents in it. So he mentioned, make sure your fees are paid and keep an inventory of the contents of your box. Be sure to add new items if necessary and remove items that no longer need to be kept in your box. Let a trusted family member or estate planner know where your safe deposit box information is kept and consider adding a trusted individual as a box signatory. So the little comment in there that may not be readily apparent was make sure your fees are paid. So annually, there's typically a safe deposit box fee. I suspect that if someone doesn't keep up with their safe deposit box fee and they have valuables or important documents in the box, maybe you lose the right to go into it. And if there is no information, no contact with the bank from you in a 5-year period, then the contents get escheated to the estate, I suspect. So that might be why that comment exists. So if you have a safe deposit box, make sure you know what is in it, if it's important, and inventory it so that someone has an idea of what is there. In case something happens to you, I've had, estates in the past where they couldn't find the second key. I think it takes 2 keys for a safe deposit box, and one of the keys was missing. So make sure that you have that in a safe place as well. Tonight, we're talking about a potpourri of spring cleaning ideas for your financial life, going over some quick items that will help you not be the victim of assets escheating to the state, going into unclaimed property. That's what that means. So we're going to give you some tips on that, which also help you with your estate planning and keeping your financial records in order. We're also going to look at applying for unclaimed property. And we're going to talk about credit history, cleaning that up, and then also papers, how long we should have papers and documents, how long we should hold on to them. You might be surprised by some of the items we're going to talk about. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about spring cleaning, a potpourri of ideas for spring cleaning your financial life. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. And email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So we're talking about ideas. I got a financial spring cleaning checklist from the Missouri State Treasurer. I thought it was a pretty good list, so I thought I would share. Right now, we did have a call come in from Albert. He has a 62-year-old relative with a house in New Jersey, moved to South America, and left it to be taken care of by another relative. They did not take care of paying, I imagine, the real estate taxes on the house for 8 years. Oh, my goodness. Now on the verge of foreclosure. Are there ramifications from the IRS taxes if she gives the house to the bank? And the relative is retired, and her only income is Social Security. Well, Albert, it sounds like there's a number of issues going on here. I would wonder about the 62-year-old relative with the house in New Jersey. Is that the one who only has Social Security income, who went to South America, and then the other relative is up here, or is it the other relative up here who only has the, okay. All right. So as far as ramifications, when you say on the verge of foreclosure, and are there ramifications from the IRS or taxes if she gives the house to the bank, that tells me that there was a mortgage with the bank. And what happens, Albert, when someone has a foreclosure or cancellation of debt, there's actually a calculation as to whether or not there's any taxable income. That calculation has to do with, you know, fair market value. Was there anything received for the house? There could be a short sale versus a foreclosure. So without knowing all the dynamics of this off the top of my head, I would say there could be, but there may not be. It all depends. And you'd have to kind of go through the calculation and see if the bank is going to file. There's a different form for foreclosure versus cancellation of debt. There's two different forms. So you'd want to find out. And I would just ask the bank what the ramifications look like there, what they're going to be. So that's unfortunate. I'm sorry, family or relative is having to go through that. So there could be impact. What happens, Albert, is the 62-year-old relative with the house in New Jersey who moved to South America, if she's a U.S. citizen, a U.S. citizen is still required to file an income tax return on worldwide income. So if the bank issues one of these documents and it's deemed that there was some income attribution of the foreclosure to your relative, then she would still be responsible for filing a U.S. federal tax return, even if she's living in the foreign country. So you want to make sure that she gets that taken care of. Again, it may not be income taxable to her. You'd have to understand what the transaction was and then how to calculate if there was any gain on the foreclosure. Okay, I hope that helps. So there could be, maybe not. just a side note of that, for example, when there is a cancellation of debt, just if someone is considered insolvent, meaning they have no assets whatsoever, in cancellation of debt cases where there's insolvency, there may not be a tax attribute to that if the person is insolvent. So cancellation of debt is taxable to the extent you have assets that would have been available to pay the debt. Okay, so needs a little extra review, but that's the summary for us. Talking about calls, if you do have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810, and you can call live on air or off air, whatever is more convenient for you. So we're talking about spring cleaning ideas and making sure that you're taking care of your financial records so that you don't lose assets to the estate. If a bank can't find you, if a financial institution can't find you, a brokerage firm can't find you over a period of, I believe, 5 years, then they have to turn those funds or assets over to the state. It also applies to things like, stores. I was shocked to find my name on the unclaimed property list 1 year. I had a credit at a store credit, and I must have forgotten about it. It was like $60. And I found out that I had unclaimed property. I filed for it. And that's when I realized I had this store credit that I had forgotten about it, and they had turned it over to the state. So that was very honest of the store, and it was kind of fun for me to get a check in the mail, and it was a very easy process. I'll talk about that in a minute. One of the other tips that the Missouri treasurer gave was creating and updating a virtual asset instruction letter, and that is information that you store online and any device you use to access that information. Examples include computers, smartphones, email accounts, online banking, and investment accounts. And your virtual asset instruction letter should list all the website addresses, usernames, and passwords, and that you should keep it secure by saving it to a CD or a memory stick and storing it in a safe place, maybe even a little safe that you might have at home, maybe in that safe deposit box we mentioned. Be sure to update the information with new accounts, new passwords, and let a trusted family member or estate planner know how to access it. Now, on another website I had found, it was mycreditunion.gov, which is a government website. They also added some information tips that I thought were good. Make sure you're not using the same password and login information for all your online bank accounts and other financial accounts. So kind of mix them up a little bit. Again, this is to make sure that you don't forget about assets that you have. So we're cleaning up assets that might be floating around out there, little bank accounts and such, so that you don't lose sight of them. Change your passwords periodically so that they don't, people don't get used to them. And the other thing was, make sure they're different, because you don't want to have one password. If someone breaks in and breaks your password, and then they can open up all five of your, financial accounts or financial information. Update your email addresses. It's not uncommon for individuals to change their primary email address. Make sure that you let your bank, life insurance provider, investment advisor, and estate planner know if this is a form of communication you use to contact them. Remember, I said you may have online access to some of your banking or financial information, and they may lose track of you that way. So you definitely want to update not just your mailing address, but your email address as well. That also applies to phone numbers, I find, in addition to that. Prepare or update your estate planning documents. His comments, unfortunately, we never know when we will need to have our estate planning in order. Having a plan for your assets in the event of your death will ensure that your assets are distributed in the manner that you choose and will allow your heirs to receive their inheritances in a timely manner. In your estate planning documents, consider including a revocable living trust and or beneficiary designations to avoid probate. So that were some of his tips. I thought those were good, and that was to avoid some of those. Oh, we have a few more tips. One of the things I wanted to mention was also regarding when he said prepare and update your estate planning documents. You want to make sure that you revisit those as well. This is one of the most misunderstood areas of our financial life. So we could do lots of shows on estate planning, but for spring cleaning purposes, dust off those old documents and take a fresh look at them. When were they last updated? Is it time to include your children as executors or trustees? Maybe when you wrote the documents, they were, 15 and now they're 25 or 30. So maybe they could be an executor or a successor executor. And also make sure you understand where your assets are going, and do you need to dust off your beneficiary designations as well? That's all part of your spring cleaning. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are live. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. Also through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can ask questions live or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. So before our last break, we were talking about the tips for spring cleaning, your financial information. One of those was updating your estate planning documents. So we want you to dust off those documents, look at them fresh. Time flies. So you think you might have just updated your documents. Yeah, I did in 2005. Well, 2005 was 10 years ago. So I'm just throwing that out there. So you want to make sure that you revisit those, see if there's anything that you would do differently or change. At the same time you're doing that, check your investments. So remember, part of what we want to do is make sure that we're not losing track of our investments. So we want to do a little inventory of our IRAs, 401k, CDs, our pensions. Do they need any updated information? Have we updated our withholdings lately on our pension or our Social Security? Have I updated beneficiary designations? So if you've moved, you want to make sure you change your email address, update those beneficiaries, and do it on a regular basis. And people won't always ask you if it's time to update them. So if you have your investments like a 401k or IRA, and you have beneficiary designations, don't necessarily expect your advisor, your financial advisor, or your broker or your insurance agent to ask you, oh, do you want to update your beneficiary designations? And they may not do that. So as part of your spring cleaning, take the opportunity to check those beneficiary designations. Check your securities, stocks, and bonds. Some people still have stock certificates in their safe deposit box. So if you are one of those people, or your grandma was, or your dad was, your mom was, you want to make sure that if you have information, you don't want to lose track of those old stock certificates. So often now, it's all in registration form, it's street name, it's not, the certificates aren't issued like they used to be. So if you are someone who has those, you're financial planners, your investment advisors, they might not realize you have those if you've forgotten that they have them, and it could get lost over time. You might have them tucked under your mattress, whatever. You don't know if someone's going to find them. So, and if they find them, sometimes they are old or you had already filed that they were missing or lost. So make sure that you've taken care of all of that. Keep that information up to date. As I mentioned, check your life insurance policies as well and your beneficiary information. And then the last tip was check for unclaimed property. Most unclaimed property consists of cash from bank accounts, stocks, bonds, and safe deposit box that have been abandoned. It can also include uncollected insurance policy proceeds, government refunds, utility deposits, wages from past jobs. Pennsylvania has $2.3 billion in unclaimed property. This is a real fun exercise, especially if you find out that you have unclaimed property. Maybe not so much fun if you don't have unclaimed property, but it's kind of fun, and you wouldn't believe how many people that you might know would have unclaimed property. So you might look for yourself, you might look for mom, dad, Aunt Susie, maybe your cousin. It's kind of fun to do. And people might think this is a little strange. Why would Lori do this or like to do this? It's the estate planning background I have from working on estates. It's always a little exercise we do to make sure that the person who passed away didn't have any unclaimed property. And one reminder, you want to kind of go back and revisit that. So let's say you had something that you found maybe 3 years ago and you filed for it. It doesn't hurt to go back and check periodically, because remember, it takes 5 years for property to be turned over to the state. So while you may not have had something a couple years ago when you checked, there may be something now. So you want to check periodically. You would be surprised. Now, how do you do that? One easy way, if you have a computer, is to go on to Google and type PA unclaimed property, and the patreasury.gov website opens up, and it opens up right to the unclaimed property page. If you are in New Jersey, you could do the same thing, New Jersey unclaimed property. New Jersey doesn't have their own website for unclaimed property. New Jersey uses like a national website. And then you type your name, and up pops a list, and there might be, you know, if you're a Smith, there would be probably thousands of Smiths. So you can further define your search by saying Smith Lori, and up it pops, and then you look for your address, an address that you would have had before, and that's how you can identify it. And then you can click the link for claim, and you'll be provided with information to identify whether or not it's really yours. And then go through the procedures of a filing. And sometimes you have to provide a copy of your driver's license, or you have to get your signature notarized. They do go and make some efforts in identifying who the person is that's claiming it to ensure that you are indeed that person. All right, so patreasury.gov, you can go look for unclaimed property. I hope that some of you do that, and I'd love to hear that if you found some unclaimed property. All right, now I had looked at another website that I had mentioned at the top of the show, which was called mycreditunion.gov, and what came up was some information on cleaning up your credit, and I thought that that would be very appropriate for tonight's show as well, when we're talking about a potpourri of spring cleaning ideas for your financial life. Cleaning up your credit report. So on that website, mycreditunion.gov, they had these tips, and one of them was to review your credit report. And by law, you're entitled to order one free credit report yearly from each of the three major credit bureaus, and you can get yours at no cost from annualcreditreport.com. annualcreditreport.com, and make sure your credit reports are free of mistakes. Under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, both the credit reporting agency and the information provider, that is the person or company that provides information about you to a credit reporting agency, are responsible for correcting inaccurate or incomplete information in your report. So, to take advantage of all your rights under this law, you want to contact the credit reporting agency and the information provider if there's a mistake. So when we get back, we're going to talk about how one goes about that, and then I'll give you some more ideas about cleaning up, spring cleaning your financial records, your financial life, to kind of get a fresh start. Why not? It's empowering and feels good to get yourself organized. The more you know about your financial records and your financial life, the more successful you will be. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
And welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert, with CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. If you have questions this evening, folks, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about spring cleaning, a potpourri of ideas to clean up your financial life. We've gone over ways to make sure that you don't let any of your assets go missing. We don't want anything to be turned over to the state. And you can, if you did have something go over to the state, you can check out unclaimed property through the patreasury.gov website, or for New Jersey, they have a national site. So you would just go online and look New Jersey unclaimed property. I did want to mention one more thing about that. You do not have to pay anyone to help you with that. I remember years ago, there were folks out there who would, for a fee, help you find unclaimed property. And I think it used to be slightly more complicated when we didn't have the internet. But with the internet now, and these states make it so easy, you can click on the claim form and get the information, and they pretty much tell you everything you have to do. There's no reason to pay someone to help you find the unclaimed property. It's there. It's listed. You just have to kind of be methodical about filling out the paperwork and printing out the proper documents that you need. So a fairly easy process and free. So keep that in mind. And don't be taken in by someone who acts like it's a hard thing or wants to charge fees. And you certainly don't want to give your personal information to anyone these days, because there are so many scams going on out there. I'll remind folks that there continues to be phone calls from people saying they're with the IRS. It had seemed to peak during tax season, where you'd get a phone call saying it was the IRS and you owed, you know, thousands of dollars, and hey, Bob and Sue living at this address, you know, married, filing joint. So they acted like they knew quite a bit about you. And so many people were really taken in by this. The IRS does not call you. I will continue to repeat this warning for IRS scams. The IRS will not call you. They will send you a letter. They'll send you a second letter. They'll even send you a third letter. So do not be taken in by folks calling to say they are from the IRS. It just doesn't happen. So don't give away any money. Don't run to the drugstore to get them a debit card, because someone told me that's what they were told to do. Just don't be taken in. All right. Now, let's continue our discussion about our spring cleaning ideas. So I mentioned about reviewing your credit report. Let me give you some tips on that, and then we'll talk about shredding documents and keeping documents and kind of getting your financial life in order. So if you have not checked your credit report, it's always a good idea to do that. I have to tell you, I don't know when the last time was that I did it. So here's the cobbler's children with no shoes. It should be something I think I'll talk to my husband about when I'm not working. He can go check my credit report. So you want to review your credit report. They have to make them available. It's free. Why not do it? Now, what if you see an error on the credit report? Here's what you're going to do. You can dispute errors on your credit report. When we talk about house cleaning, this is what we want to do. Spring cleaning, we want to clean up your credit report if it's not good. So step one, you tell the credit reporting agency in writing what information you think is inaccurate, and you include copies, not the originals, of documents that support your position. In addition to providing your complete name and address, your letter should clearly identify each item in your report that you dispute. State the facts and explain why you dispute the information and request that it be removed or corrected. All right. And then there's some additional information around that. They usually will investigate and get back to you within 30 days unless they think it's frivolous or irrelevant. You can also tell the creditor or other information provider in writing the same thing, that you dispute the item. Be sure to include, again, copies, not originals, of documents that support your position, and send it to an address that the provider has provided in some way. And if the provider reports the item to a credit reporting agency, it must include a notice of your dispute. And if you are correct, that is, if the information is found to be inaccurate, the erroneous information on your credit report, the information provider may not report it again. So you definitely want to look at those credit reports and clean them up if you need to. And also, you might see some old credit cards on there, some old credit card information. You want to make sure you take care of that. One thing that I have seen recently were liens on insurance policies, liens for car loans or liens for mortgages, when in fact they have been paid off. So that's another spring cleaning tip when you are going through your financial files, which I'll talk about in a minute, and organizing your financial information. You want to glance at those declaration pages on those insurance policies to see if it notes a lien on your property, because if you've paid off your mortgage or you've paid off your car loan, you definitely want to let your insurance carrier know so they can remove that information. All right. So we've talked about credit reports, cleaning up your credit report. Let's talk about some more information that was available on mycreditunion.gov, because I thought that they had some good tips. One was set up automatic bill pay. Spring cleaning isn't only about decluttering. It's also about making things more efficient. Set up automatic bill pay and link it to your primary checking account. It will also eliminate the chances of missing a payment and paying late fees. So that's an option for some people. I have to tell you, I'm always on the fence about this. My husband and I actually do some things automatic bill pay, but I am resistant to do it on everything. I just feel like that's more of my bank information out there. But of course, millions and millions of people do this every day. So do what's comfortable for you, but make sure that you are paying your bills timely. Make sure the information is updated regularly. But that is certainly an option for automatic bill pay to reduce paperwork that you have in your house. Another option, folks, for bill paying, if you're trying to keep your papers down to a minimum, is have a scanning device. If you own a scanning machine, you could scan the documents and save them on your computer or save them to a hard drive. You want to make sure that you do backups or downloads to, you know, zip drives or something to retain that information for as long as you need it as well. But scanning and having electronic documents is very efficient as well. Paying off holiday debt once and for all. That way you don't get, bills constantly coming. So that is a good time to look at outstanding debts right now. Cleaning up outstanding debt. See which loans or credit cards you could pay off entirely, or at the very least, put yourself on a stricter debt payoff plan and pay off any debt you accumulated over the holidays. Cleaning up debt quickly will put you in a much better financial position for the rest of the year. So that's a great tip that they offered as well. Reviewing your budget. Is your budget up to date? Have you incorporated any increases or decreases in your income? Take a close look at your budget to see if you need to make any modifications. Are there any unnecessary expenses that you can sweep away or wipe off or not incur anymore? That's an area that I think gets overlooked quite often when you have set up those automatic bill pay situations. So that's another reason you want to be careful about that. Automatic bill pay for possibly discretionary type of spending. Maybe you have subscribed to a magazine or a monthly service. My husband and I saw on our credit card statement one month, I forgot what it was called. I'm just going to say something social. And we looked it up. I said, what is this? There was like a fee. I think it was like $10 a month or something. Where did this come from? Well, apparently it had been something we might have signed up for my son back when he had done sports. We had to sign up for something. And it was one of those automatic things that got attached to whatever we had signed up for him. And here it was. We didn't even know what the name of it was. It just kind of happened mysteriously. So even as attentive as you think you are when you're signing up online for purchases, you have to be even more attentive by scrutinizing your credit card statements after they go through. Don't think about it just when you're shopping online. You have to think about it when those credit card statements come in and make sure that you understand the details behind the purchases. And if you have signed up for something automatic, you might not pick it up if you only look at 1 month, but if you look at 2 or 3 months worth of statements and really, really read what those charges are, you might catch some of these things. Keep in mind that some of these charges might be small amounts, so they might fly under the radar. Make sure you look really closely. Remember, people who have money always seem to know how much they're spending. Those folks who don't have as much money might not be looking at those credit card statements, not, you know, really paying attention. So part of your housekeeping spring cleaning is making sure that you're scouring the statements for garbage that exists, and you want to get that garbage cleaned up and off your monthly statements. Part of cleaning up also would be organizing and shredding old documents, old financial documents. Now, I want to caution people on this because sometimes people are so quick to get rid of everything that when you need to maybe go file, apply for a loan, all of a sudden you don't have any of your financial information, or you decide to sell your house and someone's asking for your past year utilities. So you don't always want to shred everything and get rid of everything. You'd be surprised how many people, when I go to do their tax return, I say, well, where is your, backup for your charitable contributions? Oh, I don't know. I threw it all away. Well, that's not going to work. You can't take those deductions. So you want to be careful in your fervor to do your spring house cleaning of your financial life, not to throw away or shred everything. And if you're converting to an electronic storage system whereby you're scanning documents and storing them on your computer, you definitely, if it's a new system for you, you want to definitely make sure that you remember what you did and what files you set up, what folders you set up on your computer, so you can go back and retrieve that information, at a later time, which might be a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later. So we are going to continue our discussion talking about cleaning up your financial documents and what papers do you have to keep and what documents are important, what documents do you want to make sure that you hang on to. If you have questions this evening, we still have time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we will be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You are listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. Serving the Lehigh Valley. Your host is, as always, Lori Siebert. And we'll be right back to Lori after we take a look at Lehigh Valley weather. Currently 70 degrees, cloudy skies most of the day today. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. We could have some gusty winds with a low around 66. Tomorrow, Thursday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 5 p.m., partly sunny, high near 86. Thursday night, a low around 59. Friday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 84. Friday night, a low around 63 degrees. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, high near 85. We continue to be in the mid-80s for the next few days. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 66. And for Sunday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 77 degrees. So, Lori, I have a question for you, and that is, when we say partly cloudy or partly sunny, what's the difference?
Partly cloudy, I would say, is more sunny, and partly sunny means it's more cloudy.
Folks, you heard it from Lori Siebert.
Thanks, John. Folks, you are listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about a potpourri of spring cleaning ideas for your financial life, your financial records. The phone number this evening is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, also through yourfinancialchoices.com. And a reminder that if you're interested in listening to any of our prior shows, podcasts are available through yourfinancialchoices.com or through wdiy.org. Okay, we have Nancy on the line. Nancy, I assume, is she on the line? No, she's off air. I apologize. So Nancy called. She has a tip. When she applied for Social Security for her and her husband, she used W-2 statements and found earning mistakes on their Social Security earnings. Because she had records, they got adjusted. That is awesome, Nancy. That's great. That is one of the reasons, too, and this segues perfectly into keeping records. I was teasing you before the break when I said you'd be surprised what I'm going to tell you about keeping records. I keep tax returns forever. So some folks will tell you, here's the rule. The IRS can go back 3 years. You can go back and amend in a return for 3 years. The IRS can go back and adjust your return for 3 years. If they suspect, fraud, they can go back 6 years. Folks, if they audit you and you have a capital loss carry forward, let's say of $100,000 that you incurred in 2008, they may ask you to go back and prove that loss from 2008. If they suspect negligence, it's either negligence or fraud, and I apologize for getting those mixed up, they could go back forever. So in my opinion, keep your tax returns forever. How does this segue into Nancy's tip? Nancy's tip is when she applied for Social Security and the earnings may not have seemed right to her, because in the old days we got paper statements. They're going to start issuing those paper statements again. I just saw information on this. The IRS is going to start issuing the paper statements of your Social Security earnings, but I think it's only every 5 years, like if you're age 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. So if you're in an in-between age, you won't get that report. But you can always go online to ssa.gov and start an account, open up an account with ssa.gov. They'll ask you certain security questions to make sure everything's legit. And you can download your actual earnings statement. And in Nancy's case, they may have seen that the earnings looked wrong. For myself, when I was much, much younger, like I think I was probably like 20 at the time, I saw that at one point it showed that I didn't have earnings, and I know I did. So I will probably have more than 35 years of earning records anyway, so it probably isn't consequential for me, but it could be consequential for a lot of people if your Social Security earnings weren't recorded properly. So if you have your old tax returns and you've kept those W-2s with those old tax returns, to Nancy's point, you could go grab all of those old documents and pull out those W-2s and have that information for the Social Security office And then they can verify and adjust the earnings. So that might make a difference for you financially in what benefit you would get. So Nancy, that's a great tip. I appreciate you calling. That's fun. I would love to have a show just on listeners' tips. So if you have tips, you guys can call them in and give me tips from time to time. And we'll try to keep track of those. So when we're talking about, oh, let me give the phone number one more time, 610-758-8810. So my advice on tax returns is to keep copies forever. So if you don't want those copies, though, those bulky paper copies, scan it. You can scan it and store it electronically. The IRS accepts electronic documents, so you can scan it and have it electronically. It's also less likely to be destroyed if there's a fire or a flood or, you know, your basement fills with water. So it's kind of nice to have electronic storage. If you work with an accountant, sometimes they keep copies indefinitely as well. They may not have all the supporting documents, but a copy of the tax return quite often. So tax returns, that's my advice on tax returns. Sometimes folks will tell you if it was really inconsequential, no real information, you had a W-2 for the first 10 years of your working life and nothing else. Well, if you know your earnings were reported properly on your Social Security statement, then I would say you might be a good candidate to shred some of those tax returns in that event. You know, that would make more sense. So I'm not ruling out shredding some tax documents, but if you have information that might be pertinent or the IRS could go back to, that's certainly something you want to keep track of. Again, electronic copies would work as well. So you heard me mention shred. When we are talking about spring cleaning and what documents you should get rid of or destroying documents, I'm not necessarily saying you pull all these old documents out and throw them in the garbage. If they have personal sensitive information, you definitely want to shred that information. So you buy a reasonably priced shredder and you just start putting all those old documents through the shredding machine. So you want to keep important financial papers. You want to keep important documents such as your wills. So keep wills, trust, but your spring cleaning lesson would be to review them, look at them, make sure, are they still up to date? Does it make sense? Are they all the same wishes that you had when you originally wrote them? Wills, trust, powers of attorney. Your power of attorney designation might change. Again, you might want to name a child, an adult child now, as a backup for your power of attorney. Your health directives, life insurance policies. You want to keep, of course, birth certificates, marriage certificates. Sometimes those are needed for, you know, passports or maybe in estate work. It may be required to present those. So keep all those original documents. It probably wouldn't hurt to scan those, that you at least have an original scanned as well. That could be something as a safeguard for you. Keep your tax returns, I mentioned. Keep important financial papers. You can shred interim statements or confirmations. So if you're someone who gets a monthly statement and then there's a quarterly summary with all the same information on each of those monthly statements, you can certainly get rid of those. And if you have an annual summary of your financial statements, you can get rid of the monthly statements, keep the annual summary. Trade confirmations, if you're buying and selling mutual funds or stocks or bonds, trade confirmations, typically check, make sure it looks like it's right on your monthly statement, and you could get rid of the confirmations. Prior to 2012, no one was necessarily tracking this. They could, your broker, if you bought it through a broker, could have tracked that cost basis for you. They just would not be required to report it to the IRS. But more recently, in the past few years, when we make purchases through our investment custodian, they are keeping track of our holding period and how much we paid for the assets that we're buying. And they're required to keep track of that. And if we move our account from one broker to another, they're required to transfer that information so that we'll always have that cost basis. So here's the piece that you have to make sure of. If you had purchases pre-2012, that cost basis may have been tracked by investment firm A, but when they transfer it over to investment firm B, if you move your accounts, that information may get lost. So some of them still transfer it, but if it is not set up the proper way, there could be a chance that it would be lost. So you want to make sure that you keep any financial statements that have that value, your cost basis, your holding period. If you had securities that you've had forever and ever, even a broker that you've had forever and ever may not have that cost basis information. If you inherited assets that has a special cost basis, like if you inherited some stock from mom or dad, they died, you inherited it, and now you're going to put it with your investment advisor, you want to make sure that the proper cost basis is in there. How would you do that? Well, if mom and dad had an inheritance tax return or some valuation for the day they died, you want to keep that documentation as backup for the cost basis for that information for when you eventually sell it. All right, so we talked about getting rid of papers, shredding them, shred old utility bills or credit card statements. Those, I would say, you could turn over once you've verified, like, credit card information, unless that credit card information has business expenses on it and you've already verified all the information and they're valid charges, then you can shred that after probably a year if they don't have important purchases on them. So usually you're not returning anything after a year. Sometimes you want to look at those credit card statements for items that you bought if you have to return them. But so get rid of those old credit card statements, utility bills. If you have subscriptions to magazines, newspapers, can you get them online? That would help you keep the clutter down, keep the paper out of your house. Look at getting them electronically. What else? Clothing, stuffed animals, knickknacks, furniture. Give it to a local charity who can either resell it or give it away to those in need. If you're donating it to a charity, get a receipt so that you can take a deduction on your tax return. If you itemize, how do you value that information, that the donations? It's all thrift shop value. You know, it's what you would pay if you went into a thrift shop. So there are resources available to kind of give you an idea of those valuations. Salvation Army has a guide for that. I think Goodwill does as well. Clean up recurring charges on your credit card statement. I had mentioned that. And then set up financial files. So get everything cleaned up. Then set up financial files for your bank statements, your retirement accounts, your insurance, your assets, your education accounts, a tax folder, your important documents like your will, if you don't mind that being out and available. Set up a file for that. All of this maintenance, cleaning up, will go a long way. It'll help you get your financial life organized. It'll help you avoid having charges that you forgot that you had, or unnecessary expenses that you were incurring that you don't really need anymore. It will help you avoid your assets getting turned over to the state because you weren't active in updating your information with old banks, old brokerage houses, old insurance companies. So all of these little things working together will help you be empowered in your financial life so that you can be more organized. And next week, we're going to kind of continue with the discussion a little bit. I want to talk next week about looking at a budget. People hate the word budget, but you really want to kind of know what income is coming in, what expenses are going out, and some ways to manage that as well. So we will talk about that next week.
Lori, before you get away, I have a question. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking for an honest answer, that's all. You talked this evening and gave many, many tips about spring cleaning, financially speaking. Mm-hmm. When I hear spring cleaning, I think about cleaning a house and
yes,
the garage and the basement. So truth be known, which would you prefer to do, financial spring cleaning or your house spring cleaning?
I would prefer to do financial spring clean.
It makes sense.
I like cleaning other people's houses. I don't like cleaning my own. I love cleaning other people's houses.
And actually, you wind up cleaning other people's financially also.
Yes, see? So I like doing for others. I don't like doing for myself. Thanks, John. But thanks, listeners, tonight. Thanks for those who called in. I appreciate it, Nancy, your tip. And Albert, thank you for your question. Again, next week, we're going to talk about kind of getting all of that in order now. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Thank you, John. Thank you, Judy Ann. Make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.